Last week, we had introduced this letter, and we're not going to review all of that, but other than the big ideas of what was going on in our message last week. Just two thoughts to get us going here. Paul was dealing with some issues that were coming on in any church, whether it be a church plant or one that's been established. But one of the things that was happening to Paul that we learned last week was that they were kind of coming after him too. It wasn't just, I got a problem with the nursery worker, or, you know, I don't like the color of the carpet, things like that that might happen in a church. No, they made it personal. And so combined with all that, he had several letters that went to the church in Corinth. And this being one of them, he's developing this whole theology of we are able to move forward in who we are in Christ. So one of the big ideas was name calling. And he's basically saying of all the names that you might be known in life, the only one that really matters is the one God gives you. That's it. And I didn't introduce you as you really are this morning, so I should start over and say, well, good morning, holy ones.
Good morning.
Yes, and good morning. Thank you, Dan. He's going to have running commentary during the message. He's going to say, oh, that was a good one. Oh, that was a bad one. Whatever. So of all the names, you got to remember, and you've probably been called names or have heard names or all that can happen. You need to realize the only one that matters is the one God gives you. So that comes through Christ. If you are in him, you are a holy one. The other one, big idea, was that your new name really gives you a whole new family. You need to know that. I don't know what your family is like. Some people, those who haven't come to Christ, they may have some great families, and that's good. You don't lose that, but you gain a whole new family that you didn't have before. Brothers and sisters in Christ that can love you. And if you've come from a bad background, you've got a great new family. And with that comes great new opportunities. So that's kind of what was last week was all about. Just a reminder, your name is important. The name being Jesus Christ in him. Paul now is going to turn to this whole topic of suffering. I was kind of hopeful to get through 3 through 11, but today I'm only going to get through 3. No comment from Dan. Okay. So that he must have turned that off. So we're going to look here at this first verse. It's just too much in it. I just kind of want to work on it a little bit. So let's read it. You just follow along as I read it out loud. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now, right away, if depending on what version you have, that word for mercy is often translated compassion. And that actually is accurate too. They are interchangeable from time to time. So it's okay if yours reads the God of all compassion. That is accurate. That's actually the word I'm going to be launching off of this morning because, well, it's the same letter as the word comfort. So comfort and compassion are two of the things that we see going on here. What Paul's starting off with is kind of something that he had learned from the past. So your whole past hasn't disappeared when you become a Christian. He's actually giving a Jewish synagogue greeting, but he's Christianized it. That's what he's done. I mean, you wouldn't say the name of our Lord Jesus Christ at a synagogue. So he's taken this greeting, a kind of greeting that you would normally give in a synagogue, and he's added this whole thing, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's highlighted those two attributes. We're going to use compassion instead of the mercies here. Same idea, same word, Greek word actually. So we got compassion and we have comfort. Compassion and comfort. But what is that all about? What is compassion? And what is this going to be defined as? Well, let's just look at that real quick. Compassion breaks down, and first of all, as there being an awareness of something. There's a verse here that talks about from Luke, a Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came to see where he was, he saw him, and he had compassion. So the whole idea was, you got to have your eyes open. How many guys walked by him and had an awareness, but they just walked on by? But part of having compassion is being aware of your surroundings. Do you even know what's going on in your neighborhoods or your schools or your work? Are you aware of the sufferings of the people that you work with? There's got to be an awareness. In other words, if you want compassion, you got to have a knowledge of it, you got to know what's going on. The second one we see is this idea of concern. 1 Peter talks about this. Finally, all of you have a tender heart. So with compassion comes concern. If you go back to the Samaritan story, of course, that guy had a concern. There was an actual emotion. It's okay to have emotions as a Christian. We're supposed to. God has emotions, you know that. God has great love, and God has great compassion, and he also has great anger too. So emotions are a part of our makeup, being made in the image of God. Here, compassion is not just an awareness, but now something tugged on your heart. All right? Something got you there a little bit, and you're going, oh. So we got this compassion, we got this concern, but there's one more part to really make it biblical compassion. You really need to get this, okay? If you don't get this, the other two don't matter. Now, that has to do with action. We see that all over. Christ, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. He had compassion on them, and he just said, that's too bad. No, it says he healed their sick. Go back to the Samaritan. What did he do? I love that phrase. He made an effort to cross the road. There was an action involved. So you could say, well, I have compassion for people, and I would say to you, how? How do you have compassion? You mean you have an awareness of that? That's only one step. You mean you have an emotion that you see that and you go, oh man, that's too bad. That's still not biblical compassion yet. You're getting there. The third aspect is action. We're moved to action. That just makes perfect sense. Your child falls down and they scrape their knee or they get injured and you go, man, that's too bad. I feel bad about that. No one watching that would say you're a parent who has compassion. Nobody. I can't imagine someone's, oh, how compassionate of a parent. No. What would you do? You'd go down there, you'd pick them up, you'd do everything you could to try to help them, you know, feel better and console and all that stuff. So compassion carries these elements. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, you really need to grab this part right here. You can't just have an awareness. You can't just have an emotion. Admit. You've got to do something about it. You've got to get involved personally. Yes, you personally. You and me personally. We have to cross the road. We have to do that. So, there's some great stories that have come out here. I just want to run a couple of. I don't know if you've heard of this one. This was recent months here. Let me see if I can get this. So, we have a. This is a photo taken by somebody who was just watching the scene. There was a big fire somewhere. This is in Montana. So this is a firefighter. Can you see him there on the ground? So he's got this computer, looks like, or some kind of an iBook or something. I don't know. Is there such a thing as an iBook? I just made that up. So what he's doing, he's reading to this little girl in the street. And what he's doing, he's taking her mind off the trauma. Oh, I see what's happened here. There was a traumatic car crash. So the individual watching this scene unfold as parents are being interviewed and the sirens are going and everybody's going round and round and round. There was this little girl just that didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. The fireman saw it. And you imagine his heart just went boom. But he did something. So he goes over there, right in the middle of the street, in the midst of everything else. He starts reading her a book. And she responded. Rather than get all concerned about mom and dad and everything that's happening over there, she was engaged with what the fireman was telling her. And was able to calm her down. And the people who saw it said they were just absolutely blown away by the compassion this fireman had. With this young girl. That's what we're talking about. Well, something even more recent, I think this was in the last week or 10 days. I'm not sure the exact date. But maybe you've heard this story. It's a great story of compassion. So that was the big ice storm on I-95 recently. And there was this couple, I found out from the article, Casey Hollihan, her husband John, they saw this bread truck. They had been there for hours apparently. And they were getting hungry, and they had, not just a couple hours, by the way, many hours. And so they saw this, and they called the company and asked if it would be possible for the driver to help in any way. And so the company called the truck driver. The name of the truck driver was Ron Hill. He was more than glad to help out. So he goes back there, and while everything's a parking lot there on that I-95, and he opens up his truck, and he begins to pass out food. And apparently, he was doing this for several hours. I don't know, they said something over like 300 and some loaves were handed out. Of course, he can only carry so much. He has to go back to the truck, and then go and back and forth and back and forth he went. He said it was just incredible hearing people saying thank you and for what that driver did for them. They said that the company definitely could have made a profit on this, but they chose not to show compassion instead. I don't know, it makes me want to buy at their bread. How about you? Somebody like that. That's the idea behind compassion, is that we show and this as God, who is the Father of this compassion. He's the source of it. He gives that in all of us. And as we respond to God and who He is and who we are in Christ, one of the characteristics is compassion. I love this picture. I don't know any of these guys, but someone has compassion and decides that they want to share the good news of Christ with someone else. I don't know if it's a friend. It kind of looks from the picture that it's a stranger. But he was willing to walk up. The Lord must have led him to that opportunity, and there he went. And so he decided that, you know what, maybe the best way I can show compassion for this individual, I don't have bread to give him, I don't have a lot to give, but I have everything to give. I have the good news that Jesus saves. And so he was willing, this is the hard part, to cross the road. Oftentimes we don't think about this and that story, but my friend, that's exactly what that story can entail as well. Because we can see someone in need of a salvation. They need Christ. And may you and I never be the one that sees that need and walks by the guy and just prays for him as we walk as fast as we can to our next appointment. May we be like the Samaritan who crosses the road, takes the time, and there is a cost for him in time, money, and everything else, humanly speaking. But what a value and a benefit to lead someone to Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. So when Paul is going to respond in this letter, he's giving us your name or who you are, and part of who you are, now he's explaining that. It says, you guys, we have a God, our Father is the God of all compassion, or God of all mercies. By the way, as your child, that's who you ought to be too. And he starts with that. That's a pretty good way to start. He's going to launch from there. And right now, you and I are sitting here going, yeah, you're right. That's who our God is. That's the way he operates. And I need to be more like that. So go ahead, Paul. What do you got to say to me? I'm ready to listen. So he starts there. But also, when you think about it, there's the second word that pops up here, the God of all comfort. Comfort can be understood in several pictures, and we're going to get to that. The idea here is the calling someone to one side. Now, the word here, the Greek word for comfort, is an interesting word. You're going to probably recognize it if you've heard any messages or lessons in the Gospel of John. So the verb it's used here is parakletos, comfort. But it comes from another one that John uses in his Gospel, parakletos, the noun form, which he uses to describe the Holy Spirit. He is the paraclete, our comforter. He Now go back to the previous slide. I know it went fast. He is the one who comes alongside of us. And so for us to really get a picture of this so that we can think about how are we applying that in our life, I've got several pictures here that I like to work through that are give biblical definitions to this idea of comfort or being a comforter. So we are to comfort. I like the action verb, right? I like that. Comfort. But the idea of comforter, that's where you and I and our roles land. So let's try this out here. See if I can get this. We think of this first in the concept of just coming alongside someone who is hurting. And that's a good picture. So I want you to look at those things. And if you've ever experienced that on the receiving end, it's wonderful. You're walking through a difficult time and someone recognizes what they see. They're aware of it and they have an emotion about it. But they don't just do that. They're not afraid to come and interact. They're not afraid to put their arm around you or to cry with you or whatever it is. They will act on that and be a comfort to you, so they are a comforter. So like their Father in heaven, you know, and we think about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, who is the great comforter, we become in that same role like him, a comforter. So, but there's more to it than that. It's a great study. You should try it. As you go through scriptures, some more pictures pop up about this word paraclete, parakletos. First one here is this idea of guidance. Remember the promise, I'm going to my Father in heaven, but you won't be left blind. I'm sending someone down. I go up. He's coming down, and he will what? Guide you into all truth. What greater comfort is that than to have someone who's going to be able to give me what I need when I need it, and I know it's truth. So we enter into the role of comforter, the role that God has called us to be, when we not only live in truth with him, but we share that truth, helping guide people. Now there's words for this. You guys probably think of advice, good advice. That's right. I don't mind that word at all, as long as it's good biblical advice based on truth and not opinion. So we enter in it when we do that. So whenever you are out and about and someone is struggling, whether they actually feel like they're upset and down or they think they're doing fine, but you know they're struggling, you can be a comforter by giving them guidance. Guidance. Another picture that pops up in the New Testament is this whole idea of a defense attorney. A defense attorney. Now, this has a lot of pictures, even in its own picture. This is coming alongside when you're falsely accused and the Holy Spirit is there. And obviously, Paul has felt that already. He was actually one of the guys who created a lot of problems before he got saved, right? He brought a lot of suffering himself. But now, the great thing is that he is experiencing that, and through that, as he's written in other letters, he's becoming more like Christ because he's understanding the sufferings. We're going to get into that a little bit next week, or a lot of bit next week. But it's not just the defense in that sense. It's a defense as the God's people come together and stand up for what is right together. I just got this, and this is very a short summary, but this week, towards the end of the week, I received this letter from one of the pastors from Faith Church in Lafayette, all right? Maybe some of you know what's coming here, but this is new to me. So apparently, in West Lafayette, and by the way, let's just set this up. Faith Church is one of the largest biblical counseling centers in the state. So, in West Lafayette, however, a city ordinance has been proposed. You can write this down if you want. Ordinance 3121. If it's passed, it will ban any attempts of biblical counselors to speak truth, biblical truth, to minors that are wrestling with sexual orientation or issues of gender confusion. It will be against law. to do that. It will be against the law to teach the Bible. Are you following this? You're not surprised, are you? It's happened in other countries. It's been challenged here. This ordinance is threatening to fine counselors and counseling centers up to $1,000 per day. So what has that got to do with comfort? Well, the ordinance has nothing to do with comfort. How we respond to it is the point. What will we do? I've made you aware. I bet I've admitted an emotion from you. We've got two of the three. There's one more left. What will you do? It's time to go to action, folks. Time to go to action. Prayer is the first part. Absolutely. How about a connection? Telling those pastors in that center that they're brothers and sisters fighting on this side of the counties. I know we're not the same county. Have got their back. Whatever we can do, we will stand for God's word. We'll stand along beside them. See how this works? It's not just knowledge. I feel sorry for them. We got to do something about this. We need to encourage one another. Another picture that pops up is one that we love, and I love this one too. It's being cheerleader for each other. It's real easy, and as a coach, this is one of the things that I've always struggled with as a coach. It's still due to the day, but I'm a lot better than I was when I first started. When I was first started, all I could ever see was what the kids were doing wrong. But that's part of coaching, right? You have to analyze, why is it they're not, pinning their opponent? Why are they getting pinned in 5 seconds? whatever it is. Is their stance wrong? And there's a part that you have to do that. But when it comes to interacting with the athlete, I learned it doesn't do any good to beat them up. What you have to do is become their cheerleader. You have to help them find out, of the 10 things that you did, I'm going to find at least one that was good. I want to focus on that. And I learned early on that it's best to just say, hey, you did this so well. Now there's some other things we got to work on. And we're going to do that this next week. Have a seat with the rest of your teammates. And you just move on. Because I know what it's like on the other side of that. I know what it's like to have a coach that he thought the only thing that would work was to scream and just dress you down. Didn't work for me. I wasn't motivated to work harder. In fact, I moved forward on fear. Some of the best coaches are the greatest cheerleaders. And some of the best parents are the cheerleaders, not the screamers on the sidelines. So I'm just encouraged that we find this as God is our cheerleader as well. He encourages us. He comes alongside and says, you can do this through me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Another picture is helping you up. This idea of when you're down, guess what? You don't have to lay there, because the great comforter who loves you is there to pick you up. That's who God is. That's what he does. And so we have these two fantastic words that just come along here and just hit us. He is full of compassion, are you and I? And he's full of comfort. Is this what you and I give? But finally, is the word all. I love that word. I love that word, awe. Because I thought, how often will God come to my aid? All the time. Will God be there most days for me? All days. Will God be there for the big things only? God is there all the Really? Deuteronomy tells us, 31:6, be strong, Christian, be courageous, follower of God. Don't be in fear or dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Does it matter big or small? God is with you. Even in Hebrews picks up on this idea. They have a different topic, but he ends it with the same phrase. Keep your life free from the love of money in Hebrews 13:5. Be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. There it is again. He's quoting Deuteronomy. The point is that God is just with us. And a couple things, and we're going to wrap this up. I want you to see something from just that one little verse. All right, so I try to get a picture of something we recognize and then the universe behind it. I want you to know that God sees. How can he comfort anybody if he doesn't know what's going on, doesn't have an awareness? God sees everything. He sees what's going on in your life. I thought about this week, and I actually out loud I'm praying as I'm driving back and forth to Indianapolis. I'm thinking to the Lord, Lord, that just blows my mind. I don't even know how you could do that. How could you literally know what's going on with me and know what's going on with somebody in China and know what's going on with somebody in Australia all at the same time? But he is. That's what makes him sovereign God and Lord of the universe. He's able to do that. And he sees what you're going through even now. And the great thing is that he cares. So it's not just he has an awareness, man, you got a problem. Yeah, okay, thanks God. I already know I got a problem. But God cares about it. And that's comforting, but guess what? There's more to it than that. God helps. And he shows that help, that his commitment to you and me when he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed his blood for your sins and mine. We were the guilty party, but he took our guilt on him. And he offers eternal salvation to all who will turn away and repent from whatever it is they're trusting in and trust in him. God can help you. That's his business. Actually, that's who he is. When I was a kid in Delaware, when we lived there, big neighborhood, and behind us in the backyard, everyone had fences back then. And there was this house, kitty corner, and it was the house you didn't want to ever walk by. Everybody have those in your neighborhoods. And they had two huge German shepherds. And these things just, they seemed like they hated life themselves. Every time we went in the backyard and played, which is where we normally went, and there was a bunch of us from the neighborhood, about 15, 20 guys, we just, you know, playing all kinds of stuff. Those dogs would go crazy. They were just salivating, wanting to look like they wanted to eat us for lunch. They're kind of scary, but they're always there. One day, one morning, I went outside, and I was just by myself, and I looked up, and the dog had jumped the fence, and he was staring right at me, and he was growling, and I was paralyzed. What am I going to do? Happen chance. My father, being the shift work guy, I sometimes didn't see him for a while. You know, there could be weeks I didn't see him. He happened to see it from the inside, the house. I would imagine he had a care, a concern about the situation, knowing those dogs were Satan's dogs. They were nasty. And I didn't know it, but he bolts out of the back door, and that dog took off running. My dad's not a big guy. He's not really a scary guy. Don't mess with my kid. I want you to know here today, if you're hurting, if you're suffering, you have a loving Savior, a Father in heaven. There's a Holy Spirit who says, not with my kid. And he wants you to trust him. He sees, he cares, and he will help you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. If you're watching, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You know about God, and you respect him, and you even give him honor. Maybe you even attend church. Maybe you're involved and do great things. I want you to know the scriptures are clear that all those good works that we have don't bring about salvation at all. There's nothing we can do. It's only by grace through faith in Jesus alone. And if you're, whether you're watching on television or you're here this morning, I offer to you Jesus Christ. It was many years ago as a child where I finally understood that my sin is what needed forgiveness. It separated me from God. And I turned simply and cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you, Father, for raising him from the dead. For the Bible tells us that you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that is a relationship once for all. How about you, Christian? This morning we think about Paul's letter here, and he's suffering just having to write it. I think the applications are clear. Would you pray to God to help you to be more compassionate? Would you pray to God even now to help, to allow him to use you to bring comfort to folks? That's really what this is all about. It's not that people deserve it, for we certainly did not, did we? Yet God had compassion for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so in that same spirit, with our Father in heaven who was willing to give up his one and only Son, would you join me in prayer and say, Lord God, help me now to be aware, to truly care, and to be involved to do something that I can do. We must be compassionate. We must bring comfort. So Father, this morning as we close our time here, I thank you that you are the God of all mercies, comfort, compassion. That you continue to do that ministry in our lives. Oftentimes we don't even see it. Sometimes as we're bowing our head on that stool and crying, you do those acts of mercy. Someone in our life pulls out the pacifier in their mouth and jams it in ours. And what a ministry it is, when out of love and compassion, someone cares and brings comfort to us. Lord, our world is in need of that today. People are seeking it in different ways, thinking they have it. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be involved in this ministry of compassion and comfort, and that we understand that the basis for all this is found in the gospel of Christ. May us as ministers of this gospel take advantage of the opportunities that you give us to bring it to a world in need.